Montana State University Billings welcomes you to this internet broadcast of Yellow Jacket Sports.
And welcome to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show, talking with the head coach for the Montana State Billings men, George Pfeiffer, coming off a disappointing loss at home against St. Martin's this past Saturday. A game, George, down only 2 points at the half, and then, well, the wheels kind of came off, I guess, for a better way of putting it.
Well, you know, I think that there was, you know, right near the end of the third quarter, there was about a four-minute stretch where, you know, they made some shots, and we just couldn't get anything going, and we missed some free throws in that little moment. You know, we were 8 for 6 even from the free throw line, and when it got out to be a 10 to 12 point game, it kind of hovered there for a while, and then I thought in the last 3 or 4 minutes the wheels fell off for us, because we realized that for whatever reason we weren't going to be able to climb that mountain today. And then I thought we played poorly down the last 4 or 5 minutes. And when we play poorly, it's magnificent. It's, you know, we have to play really, really good to be close to somebody. You know, short of numbers and all that kind of stuff. Again, we're not going to make excuses, but that's just a reality of where we're at. So, you know, St. Martin's is a very good team. I mean, again, this is the same team that beat Colorado State. This is the same team that played Oregon State to 3. And we can see right now Oregon State's in the middle of the Pac-10. This was a very good St. Martin's basketball team with lots of weapons. I thought we did a really good job with Litton. We ran, you know, some box and one. We ran some 1-3 and a chaser. You know, and we kept a guy who's scoring 23 points a game. We cut his, you know, scoring production in half. It just, you know, offensively, we were really, really anemic in the second half.
I gotta say something about Litton. Boy, he's not afraid to shoot. I think he put a couple of threes. I don't think he'd barely cross the half court line. I mean, this guy, I mean, from a defensive standpoint, I suppose, when you're guarding a guy like that and he's crossing the half court line and he's going to put it up, not just from NBA three, but well beyond that, I suppose you're just going to let him hit a couple of, you know, shoot those until he hits them. But obviously, this guy feels pretty comfortable with his shot.
Well, yeah, he has, you know, the proverbial green light every single time he does cross half court. When he hit the 1-3, there was no doubt in our mind, because, you know, I think we've done a pretty good job of researching that when he hits a shot, you know what I mean? It'd be like in blackjack, double down, because you're going to get, you know, he's going to come. It's going to come again, and he did. I mean, he shot the one shot. He made a nice crossover move and lost our guy and jumped up and hit the 3, and he came right back. And I know his heels were on the volleyball spike line. But the thing that he does that I thought we did a pretty good job of is there have been some games. In the first game, he was 15 for 16 from the foul line. Last Saturday night, he was 16 for 17 from the foul line. And so he gets to the free throw line an unbelievable amount of time. He is a guy that shoots 90-some percent from the foul line. So you have to work to keep him from the basketball. I'm not trying to say that he has the Jordan rule going on, but he shoots a pile of free throws. And so he's one of those guys that just has the knack of, he's driving to the basket and he kind of leans into you or bumps into you and he draws contact really well. And then he makes those. Those are just straight cash. So, you know, anyway, I thought we did a fairly decent job in that regard. Richardson, who I think is probably one of the better post players in our conference, I thought he was pretty significant for them early in the game.
This was the only game all year, you know, maybe dating back to the Montana Tech game, which, of course, is a very close game, but it was really about the only time all year where I've seen your team look really frustrated. And I think you just kind of alluded to that fact when you got into those, you know, final 4 minutes. It was just kind of one of those games. And I took a call the next day from somebody who says, oh, geez, what happened? And I said, boy, it was just one of those nights. And it kind of seemed that way. Obviously, you know, I think sometimes we forget that the players are get more frustrated than anyone else. And it just didn't seem to happen that night.
Well, we did miss some shots, and we don't have that big a margin of error. And so, again, I thought some of those free throw situations for us would have really helped us because, you know, in two of those situations, those free throws tie the game. So now your mindset completely changes. And so, you know, now all of a sudden you stubbed your toe and you hit the counter pretty hard with it. And so, you know, and I wouldn't say this group is fragile, but I mean, we've lost, you know, we've lost several games now and they've been really close and we're trying to hang in there and it's a long season and we're playing lots of guys, lots of minutes. And so none of that's an excuse. We have to get ready for, Seattle Pacific, come Wednesday night. But, you know, what we really need to do is focus on us, you know, when we're in practice this week, which I thought we did this last week. We really focused the first several days of practice last week on just the Jackets, no scouting report, no anything. And these guys are doing a really good job of playing to people's scouting reports now. I mean, they did a pretty good job of, you know, it's kind of like retaking the test. And I thought, you know, multiple sets that St. Martin's runs, our guys were for the most part in the right positions. It was an offensive rebound or, guy jumps up and makes the shot who's not a shooter that, you know, probably hurt us as much as anything. So, you know, we've got four basketball games left in our season. We're going to play the top three teams out of those four games. I mean, with Seattle Pacific, Western, and Central Washington staring down the barrel in these next games. So, we don't have any time to feel bad about this or that or the other thing. We have to come to the party.
Yellow Jacket Coaches Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Danny Menholt Chevrolet, Hummer Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, Sign Pro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare and Jackets Company. We'll be back with the second part of the Coaches Show coming up.
At First Interstate Bank, we have the world's smallest checkbook, the First Interstate Visa Check Card. Use your check card like a check anywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. Use it at gas pumps and grocery stores to make everyday errands more convenient. Or use your check card to get cash at over 130 First Interstate day and night teller ATMs across Montana and Wyoming. Best of all, it's free. There are no annual or monthly fees. It's a checkbook. It's an ATM card. It's First Interstate's check card. First Interstate Bank, member FDIC.
Talking with Yellow Jacket head coach, men's coach, George Pfeiffer. Ken Adeblue on the Coach's Show today, coming off a loss to a very, very good, no question about it, St. Martin's team as they get set to take on Seattle Pacific on Wednesday and then Western Washington on Saturday, the last two home games for the Yellow Jackets. Coach, I know coaches hate this. I know they hate the question because, and getting to know you like I have the past couple of months, you don't make excuses. So, but I'm not under those auspices. So I'm gonna make an excuse right now. I thought the fact, of course, Brad Hodge was out with an injury, and you had Mario Burns gone because of a family situation. I've got to be honest with you, from the standpoint of just sitting there watching, I thought particularly with Mario out of the lineup, I thought that took something away from your offense.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Mario is probably as good as anyone in the league at getting the basketball on an outlet and getting it to the other end of the floor in a flurry. And he creates tone, he creates tempo, he creates pace. We don't have that when he's not there. And so we get into a lot more of a grinded out half-court offense. And that doesn't behoove us. Not being a name dropper, I was talking to Coach Few yesterday, and we talked for about an hour, and we were talking a lot about offense. And, you know, your offense is a lot better when you're 4-on-3, 3-on-2, 5-on-4, than if you're always seeing it 5-on-5 or 2-on-1 or 1-on-0. You score more points when you let players have that kind of freedom. And we do let our players have that kind of freedom. We want to be smart with it. But we didn't get any easy baskets. I mean, and we got probably more stops because of what because of the types of things that we were trying to do defensively, but we couldn't get any runouts. And so we didn't get the easy baskets that we need to get. We need to make that a focus. We need to, we need to have everybody else, I hate to use the word step up, but in this case it is step up because I thought we quit running hard. Because we weren't being rewarded with it. So we definitely need to get that basketball up the floor in a bigger hurry, so we can start our offense quicker.
Yeah, and of course with Mario, the thing Mario does is even when you're in that sort of half-court offense type situation, he's got that great ability to make something happen with a penetration move or what have you, and then dish it out. And, a lot of those shots, and we talk about the fact that Travis and Michael maybe didn't really shoot the ball that well outside, but you know what? They did not get a lot of open looks, and when you've got somebody able to penetrate and dish it out to a And when you got people collapsing on that guy, you know, that'll open things up. And you really didn't have that the other night.
Well, I don't think Mike and Travis, every shot was contested. I can tell you that they had some open looks at the basket and they didn't make their shots. Now, they had some tough shots at the end of shot clock where we didn't have somebody that could break somebody down and get the ball to the basket. But, you know, we went right away that night and looked at some of the shot opportunities that we had, and we need to knock those down, quite frankly. I mean, if we're going to have a chance to win some games to finish this thing out, those guys are going to have to – they can't be 8 for 30. They can't be 2 for 13 or 14 from behind the line. It just – that this won't work for us. So right or wrong, fair or unfair, they're our guys. They've always been our guys. They've been our guys all year. We still love them. We still have a ton of confidence in them. But for us to find success, they need to be big scorers, particularly when we're playing with some, you know, without some of the other guys that are on the floor. You know, my wife makes that comment to me. She's pretty perceptive. She just says, you know, you can't beat anybody up. You were shorthanded. It's just a fact of life. You're not going to make that excuse. And, you know, if we play the next game and these guys aren't here again, we won't make that excuse afterwards either. We just, you know, it's kind of hard though, because you get used to a certain rotation. You know what I mean? And now you're into the last four or five games of the year and we're going to change the blueprint. You get into it. This is when you sub in. This is when you sub out. This, you know, I got to the point where I know what this guy can do. And when I put this guy in the game, this is the combination and these are the types of plays that you run. And all of a sudden, wham. You know, and that's not just – it's not me it's hard on. It's hard on the players, trying to get them to find the rhythm and the way that they want to get stuff done.
Yeah, let's not forget with Travis, too. I mean, he does end up with a double-double. You know, he does get the, you know, again. And, I mean, we're – you know, and I do think sometimes here I am talking about the fact that maybe Travis struggled. But you know what? A lot of people would take that game.
16 rebounds? Yeah, I'd take that game. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys where the shot wasn't going in the hole for him, but 16 rebounds. You think about that. I mean, there are lots of guys out there in four games, and they're good rebounders, would come up with that total.
He came up dealing with a little foul trouble, too.
Right? Absolutely. We should have got him out in the last 30 seconds of the game. But we did do that. We did sub some guys out in the last seconds of the game, and we gave up bang, bang, back-to-back baskets. And so, like I say, the margin of error is not very good for us, and it's forced us to zone more. You know, this last, you know, we do have to zone more. I'd like, you know, in a perfect world, we'd like to be more mono, man-to-man. But I think your job as a coach is to put the best strategy on the floor that's going to help meet the needs of your players. And so... You know, we're going to probably see zoning more. And Seattle Pacific's really not the type of team you want to zone, because they can shoot the cover off the basketball.
We're going to talk about those games coming up in the third part of this coach's show. Seattle Pacific and Western Washington coming up on Wednesday the 25th and Saturday the 28th. The Yellow Jacket Coach's Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Denny Menholt, Chevrolet Hummer, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, Sign Pro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets and Company. We'll be right back with the third part of the Coach's Show right after this.
Hooligan Sports Bar and the Montana Brewing Company. Small brewery, big beer. Billings number one award-winning beers. Great food, great fun, and great beer. Hooligan Sports Bar and the Montana Brewing Company. And we're now proud sponsors of the Montana State University Billings Athletics. Join us before and after the game for great food, awesome service, and award-winning beer. Hooligan Sports Bar and the Montana Brewing Company. Small brewery, big award-winning beer. Right in the heart of downtown Billings. At 113 North Broadway, downtown.
Welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show, talking with the head coach for the men's basketball team here at Montana State University Billings, George Pfeiffer, as they get set to take on Seattle Pacific and Western Washington. You know, we've kind of come full circle, George, from the standpoint was these are the two teams that just started off the Great Northwest Athletic Conference season, both on the road at Western Washington and Seattle Pacific. A long time between those games. That occurred on January 8th and January 10th. But again, very, very close games. Obviously, you matched up pretty well against them on the road.
Well, you know, Seattle Pacific, they're an incredibly accurate shooting team. I mean, you sit there and you take a look at their starters. Four of their starters shoot above 52%, and the guy who's the black sheep in there is shooting 48%. You know, when they got a guy that's shooting 65% inside that mix, they don't miss open shots. If you're playing the hope they miss it defense, this is the wrong team to play that against. Downs, you know, had the big 20-point night against us and got most of those in the second half. They're very efficient in what they do offensively. But they can really, really shoot it. They got good inside-outside presence. They don't have a lot of seniors on their team. However, they've got a lot of guys who played together in that organization and in that team. So you really have to guard them. You really have to guard the jump shot in that game. And then you have to rebound. They're very, very solid. I mean, you know, right now they're 17-7, and in conference they're 10-3, so they're one of the top teams in the GNAC.
So what do you do when you've got the short turnaround? And obviously it's something you have to deal with all year, but you've got a team like Seattle Pacific coming in. Obviously they're your focus right now, but then right after that you've just got a couple of days and you got to get ready for Western Washington on Saturday. Is it just a matter right now you just focus on Seattle Pacific, and then after that game is over with, you just have a couple of quick workouts and take a look at what you've got in store for Western Washington? I know you're not unique in this situation, but nonetheless it's problematic, to say the least.
Well, you know, after you have a game like we had on Saturday night, I think one of the, you know, if we have a 2-hour practice today, which we'll have, and usually at this time of the year I'd like to be at about an hour and 45, but that won't be the case for us today. We need to dedicate 1 hour, and it's, you know, some people will say, of course you do, but this time of the year you really do, you focus on yourself a little bit, and it's more of a maintenance mentality. And you know, with some improvement, but what you do at this time of the year in the world that we live in is you really spearhead what you're going to do to get ready for your next opponent. Well, right now we need to go back and revisit some things that we think internally we need to do to play better basketball. You know, what can, you know, spend some time on our offense and what we did and what we could do better. Maybe throw a few things in, get a couple wrinkles in, you know, particularly if we're short, you know, if our roster's shortened up, and make those adjustments right now. But the other hour, another 45 minutes or so, has to be dedicated towards how we're going to guard and how we're going to attack Seattle Pacific. So, you know, that's what Monday looks like. And then Tuesday, you know, it's got to be shorter. Got a shorter bench, so you can't be out, you know what I mean? You can't be out there driving with your foot all the way to the accelerator and then expect to have enough gas in the tank to complete the race the next day. So you have to be really, really crafty with what you're going to do as far as your preparation is concerned. You have to be very specific. You know, for example, Tuesday we'll spend a good half hour, you know, on videotape and making sure that they understand what they have to do to defend these people.
Best of luck to you this week, Coach.
Thank you so much.
Yellow Jackets will play again. That's coming up Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. against Seattle Pacific, and then Saturday at 7 o'clock against Western Washington before finishing up on the road at Central Washington and Northwest Nazarene. Yellow Jacket Coaches Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Danny Menholt, Chevrolet Hummer, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, SignPro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets & Company. Join us next week for the Coaches Show. Thanks, everyone.
The Yellow Jackets and Montana State University thank you for logging on and listening to Yellow Jacket Sports.